The Force Field is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
From sunny Central Florida, for OnForce providers only, it's The Force Field with Rick Savoia. And now, here is your host, Rick Savoia.
Greetings, providers. Welcome to the first, the only, and the unofficial podcast for the providers of OnForce, The Force Field. I'm your host, Rick Savoia, and during the next half hour, we will cover the news, views, reviews, and interviews for and about the IT industry and the OnForce community. Our call-in segment is open to all listeners Saturday nights from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern. Call 407-278-5698. That's 407-278-5698. Or you can call in via Skype at Savoia Computer if you'd like to be part of the show. Most of us who have our own businesses and run service calls for OnForce, other national companies, or our own clients know how challenging it is to service the areas we cover, and most of us have limits as to how far we are willing to travel in order to do so. When we receive a call for on-site service, we usually know right away what it will cost and can easily negotiate a reasonable price that will make the work both economical for the client and profitable for us. But there is one area of the country where the standard rates cannot always be applied, and a reasonable price may not be economical for anyone. It's an area that is about as remote as you can get in America, and it poses unique opportunities and unique challenges to those who live and work there as IT professionals. This week, we are going to learn what it's like to work in this area of the country and what it takes to service this area as an OnForce provider. But first, let's take a look at what's going on elsewhere in the IT industry. Apple plans to integrate its popular iPod in cars within the next year. According to an article in Mac News World on August 4th by Jay Lyman, Apple Computer announced that it reached a deal with Ford Motor Company, General Motors, and Mazda to integrate the iPod in their vehicles. The article says that Apple has already made similar deals with other automakers, including BMW, Honda, Mercedes-Benz, and Volkswagen. It says, "Now more than 70% of 2007 model U.S. automobiles will offer iPod integration, with GM alone making it available on all 56 of its models, representing millions of cars and trucks," said Apple Vice President of Worldwide iPod Product Marketing Greg Joswiak. The article states, "Apple said iPod compatibility will appear in most of GM's 2007 models and all of 2007 Mazda vehicles, beginning later this year. Ford will offer it on Ford and Lincoln Mercury models." According to the article, users will be able to not only play their iPods, but to charge them as well. They will even be able to store them in special compartments on the dashboard. Well, that makes sense. And it's a brilliant move on the part of both Apple and automakers. For those who are iPod fans, it will be an attractive feature that can help sales of new autos. For the rest of us, it is an introduction to a new technology. For Apple, it's a win-win situation. Soon we will all be able to listen to the Force Field wherever we are. Oh wait, we can do that already. Never mind. And hey, watch the road. SCO stock hit a low last week, so low that market watchers find the future of the software company in doubt. According to an article by Bob Mims of the Salt Lake Tribune, Tuesday's closing at $2.28 a share is 2 cents lower than it was almost 3.5 years ago, when the Linden, Utah-based company filed a $5 billion lawsuit against IBM and made claims that it owns code used in the Linux operating system. The article quotes Stuart Cohen, CEO of Open Source Development Labs, as saying, "It shows that Linux and open source software are bigger than any one company. Linux has won in the courts and is winning in the marketplace. SCO is dead. This plan didn't work at all, and now they're paying the price. Personally, I think that although it's likely SCO will not get what it wanted, it got just what it asked for. If you're a fan of Linux, you probably have little or no pity for SCO, and it comes as welcome news. If you're not a Linux user and you don't know who or what SCO is, don't worry. In another year or so, it probably won't matter anymore. And that's the news in the force field. I am very particular about what goes in the force field, and I only promote products and services that I either use myself or would use if I needed them. This week I would like to introduce you to a new sponsor who I've been using myself for reliable web hosting to keep the force field online 24/7. GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's hosting plans are bigger and better than ever with 99% uptime, free 24/7 support, and no annual commitment. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much more. Here's the best part. As a listener of the Force Field, enter the code BLU101 when you check out and save an additional 10% on your web hosting order. You want reliable web hosting at a great price? Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply, so see site for details. That's GoDaddy.com. You're listening to The Force Field, and this is the part of the show I look forward to the most, as it is the opportunity to talk to my fellow providers. This week, we're going to find out what it's like to be a provider who lives and works in an area of the country so remote his service calls sometimes involve air travel. His name is Dave, known to many on the OnForce forums as Arctic Tech, and he is in a unique situation with a unique perspective on the industry as an OnForce provider. He will take us on an audio expedition through the experiences of an IT professional who performs his services to his customers in the last frontier, also known as the great state of Alaska. And we're speaking to Dave.
Good morning to you. Evening for me, morning for you. Incorporating OnForce, you put in there, you know, if you'd incorporated into your business, and for me personally, it just won't work. Because first, I'm in a real small populated area. Mm-hmm. It's really rural. And even though it's like 90%, I guess I could route it all through back through OnForce. Mm-hmm. I make more money without them.
Servicing your own clients then?
Oh, yeah. I mean, or any of the other ones. If I turn around and use I am in the PPN and whatnot, mm-hmm. I can use that in my own marketing and my own business outside of OnForce, mm-hmm. and still bring in those customers.
I have been reading on the forums how you've had a lot of trouble getting conditionals for that kind of a call because they don't want to pay that much. I mean, they do tend to pay on the low end anyway, but to send out for some of these break fixes on their PCs, that's, I guess, the average cost for you is somewhere in the $2,000 range pretty much to travel around?
For some of the areas they want me to go to, it's easily anywhere from $1,800 to $2,800.
Well, I was looking at a map of Alaska, and you're around that cape.
If you go to the right dead center of the map of Alaska, go straight down toward the ocean. Mm-hmm. It's on a little area of land called the Kenai Peninsula.
I'm not really that familiar with Alaskan geography, to be honest. But I was just looking at the map. That's the Kenai Peninsula?
That's the area. I service about half of it. The other half is either wildlife refuge or glaciers.
Mm-hmm. About 90% of the state is pretty much a wildlife refuge or a national protected area, isn't it?
Good chunk of it is.
Yeah. Now, as I understand, there are, what, about 650,000 residents of the state?
Just about one person per square mile.
How many on-force techs servicing that state?
Servicing one client we were just talking about, there's exactly four.
Four?
There's four. There's one in Nome. Mm-hmm. So if you look in your map, you look all the way toward Russia, you're there. There's two in Fairbanks, and then there's me.
Have you been in contact with any of the others? I mean, do you know who they all are? Is it kind of a tight circle of IT people in Alaska in general? I mean, not necessarily on-force people, but...
No. Here they would just... I mean, it's the old cliche is, you know, your competition is your enemy. And that's how they are. They'll treat you like you walk into the store to buy a part and they're watching you.
Well, you know, I can understand that. I like to take a more collaborative approach to it. I know a few people that do what I do here in Florida, and they do keep their distance somewhat, but they're not really adverse to talking tech to you over a cup of coffee most of the time.
A few of them will, you know, if one were to call me up and chat, I have no problem with that as long as I got the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we wanted to sit down over coffee, I'd more than gladly do it and discuss how his business plan and how it's working, how mine's working, how we can better improve it. I don't have a problem with that. It's some of these guys are pretty cutthroat. Some of the other providers have problems with the real low ballers that come in, mm-hmm. and will work for a dime on the dollar and undercut everybody and do whatever they need to do. We have those here.
Well, it would seem to me that 650,000 people in that state, that there really wouldn't be a whole lot of work for a whole lot of people. I mean, I guess I could understand that nature of the business. You sort of have to fight for every person there. I mean, I'm sure, do you have any idea what the ratio of computers to people are out there, or how many people? Have you done some demographic market research out there?
The last one I did was a year and a half ago, and working through the local small business group up here, it was somewhere that the average household had like 2.25 computers, and the average wage for the household was roughly about $80,000.
So that's pretty good.
People buy computers here, and more than one.
So you would say, for the average household, is that two adults, two children, a typical four-person household? Is that how they're looking at it there?
Four-person household, and from at least with my clients, mm-hmm. 3 to 5 computers.
Oh, no. Oh, really? Three to five computers?
There's usually a computer, a person, plus a laptop to take around.
Mm-hmm. So high-tech is in high demand out there.
Yeah. We got a fiber backbone that's going down to Kodiak from Anchorage with a, they're supposed to be splitting off here and down in one more city down south of us. And that's going to open up even more broadband up here. And little by little, the dial-up people are going away.
Yeah. Well, that's sort of, that's happening everywhere in the country, I think. But that's really interesting because I really wouldn't have thought it was that progressive as far as the rest of the country is concerned. I mean, as remote as some of those areas are, I would have thought that it would not have the backbone that it does. I mean, there are a lot of rural areas here in the middle of the country that really don't have the infrastructure in place yet.
Actually, it's partly due to our congressional delegation. They've really fought to get this done. AT&T, when they were up here, put everything in place to begin with. And actually, even the locals have gone out of their way to towns like Nome and whatnot are actually getting complete Wi-Fi setups for the whole town.
Oh, really?
I mean, even the small villages are getting satellite relay stations set up. A friend of mine lives in the middle of nowhere in a place called Eagle, just downriver from Dawson City, Canada. Mm-hmm. They run satellite, and they have for years.
Well, you know, I'll bet for a number of the Forcefield listeners that this is probably an eye-opener for them because, I mean, there are plenty of people that are even in some big cities that don't even have Wi-Fi in place. And I mean, now, some cities do, but there are plenty that don't yet. And there are some that don't have the fiber in place. And, you know, everybody thinks, wow, you know, our city and our area is just so hot, so progressive. We're ahead of the times. We're right there. But it would seem that in your state, you have the jump on a lot of other states here.
Well, part of it's due to, you know, the fact that the college in the center of the state in Fairbanks runs Cray supercomputer, so we do have a lot of fiber running to it. The military has brought a lot of fiber back up here. Matter of fact, that's the one fiber coming down past us is basically for them and for the anti-missile setup. Mm-hmm. The military and the colleges have really brought us up to snuff on everything around here.
What's your bandwidth like up there, or the cost of bandwidth?
I think I pay $30 right now. I run on cable, so I'm getting meg download, 512 up, and it costs me $30, and that includes cable TV. So,
oh, really? What? That's the cable TV and the broadband service bundled together?
Yep. I can triple it right now for, you know, round it up to an even $65. I can triple what I got.
Wow. Well, with all the traveling that you have to do back and forth, and that's probably a big part of your service work is just the travel.
Yeah. I try for the most part to keep it down to an hour drive, hour and a half each way. That takes and covers fairly much the area I'm in.
Well, see, I heard a plane in the background just now, and typically, you know, on calls, I would hear cars going by, but this here is airplanes, and I take it that's pretty much the preferred method of travel across much of the state, I suppose.
To get around here, yeah. I had one, it's only 15 miles across the water, but $1,800 to rent the plane to get there.
Well, and that's 15 miles as the crow flies, so to speak, linear.
If I threw a rock across the inlet here, 15 miles, that's as far as I needed to go, but it's $1,800 for the airplane rental.
Is there any travel by ferry or by boat across there?
No.
No, not really? The water's too rough or just?
Just no place to land.
Oh, I see.
I mean, basically, right across from me are, what, 9 active volcanoes.
Oh, okay. I forgot about the volcanoes.
And then there's all the people who want to live in that area.
Mm-hmm. What's the average distance between towns as far as drive time on your side?
The farthest south is 90 minutes. The farthest north is about 35, and the farthest west is about 30.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not too bad. I would have expected the villages and towns to be a little bit farther apart from each other.
In that area, you're still talking there's probably 6, 7 places to the south, 3 to the west or east, and 2 more to the north.
Mm-hmm.
So encompassing that area is still probably close to a dozen little tiny towns.
What's the average population of each town?
Oh, you're looking, the average probably 2,000 to 5,000.
Really? Only have small towns around here in Florida, however, these towns are sort of meshed together, so to speak, so it's almost like one big metropolitan area. So, you know, you go through about 3 or 4 towns before you realize you've passed a lot of them.
Bailed out on that 30-plus years ago.
So you're not from Alaska originally?
No. Just south of Seattle.
Oh. Seattle, Washington.
Uh-huh. It's just one big town from Seattle down through Tacoma. To bring OnForce into my business plan is, although it'd be preferable because it get a lot of my headaches out of the way. Mm-hmm. I don't have to chase people down for payments and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just, I mean, if it would probably be great if I was down in the lower 48 where I had a sizable amount of people to draw on, but there's just not that here. And that's the big thing holding it back is the number of clients that could run through it.
Mm.
I did try to look at it real closely. I mean, I really wanted to be able to do that, but it just wasn't going to be able to work out.
Mm-hmm. Well, how many calls have you taken from OnForce since you joined?
Oh, not that many, actually. 10?
10
of them, that's it.
Well, I don't feel too bad. I've been with OnForce for 2 years myself and only taken 11. Of course, I've missed a lot and I've turned down more than a few. But
I've turned down plenty, and like I said, you know, I've conditionaled some close to $3,000.
Yeah, and that gets a little steep because, you know, the typical OnForce client is looking to use the system to lower their costs, not to.
Well, you know, and if they had a conditional box, I could tell them, look, it's not worth it. You know, have them mail the computer to you, mm-hmm. fix it yourself, or send them another one. It's cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but,
yeah.
You know, I have no way of getting that point across to a few of them.
Well, I think what we were talking about earlier, discussing the geography of Alaska and the logistics of getting from one place to another, I think it's lost on a lot of people in general here in the mainland because it's not something a lot of us are familiar with. You know, a lot of us are in big cities now, even some people out in rural areas. Yeah, there are some rural areas where there's a lot of drive time, but typically nobody thinks of flying from one place to another to get the job done. In other words, I wouldn't think about taking a break fix job in Atlanta and fly up to Atlanta to do it and then putting in a conditional for, you know, $700 or $800 to do that because it would just be easier for that client to just get a tech that is in Atlanta to do it for $30, $40. In your case, it's sort of a unique situation because that's primarily how you get around from place to place up there.
Well, you have to look at the fact that, okay, say there's you and three other people in all of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And scatter you one from Key West, one up to Tallahassee, one in, you know, pick two other places, okay? Mm-hmm. And you've got the whole state.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to send you on a call that's kind of right smack dab in the middle of everybody. Who's going to go for it?
Mm-hmm. Most of the time, people would probably opt to drive it anyway because it would still be cheaper unless gas goes up to $10 a gallon here, which it could. You never know, but it would still be cheaper to drive there, and it might take 4 to 6 hours to get there, but the conditional would still be below $300 or so, whereas, a flight from Key West to Tallahassee would be considerably more expensive, not just for the cost of the flight, but in preparation for that, and plus you have to get on site and do the job.
I understand that. As a matter of fact, I just got a work order here the other day to go to Anchorage. Well, by OnForce's little map, Anchorage is inside of my little 60-mile window. Except for me to get there, it's 360-mile round trip. And I've got to climb up through the mountains and everything else to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a job that's 800 miles away means I have to fly. Mm-hmm. There are no roads.
Well, you're definitely in a unique situation.
You'd think that they would give me a way of just being able to tell these people, look, if you pull up a map, send them a new computer. It's cheaper.
Well, you know, I agree with you. And I think they are working on changes to the platform to continually improving it. But I think in the beginning when they set it up, it was fairly simple in many respects. They weren't really thinking about those things because, once again, they're in a bigger city and they're just thinking, well, you know, we can dispatch a tech here and a tech there and whoever's closest in that zip code. And not really considering that a zip code in your area could mean, well, a lot larger area.
Oh, sure. I mean, I get calls that are 250 plus miles away because as the crow flies, they're still 60 miles from my zip code.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm constantly turning down calls, rejecting them for the distance or I'm really tired of it, I'll start putting in conditionals, and I will bill them for my time, which is why I get those $3,000 conditionals. I'm not going to do this and drive 10, 20 hours mm-hmm. for nothing.
Well, I can't blame you. I wouldn't either. But do those other techs that are on force that you know of, do they handle it the same way, or how do they generally handle it?
There's a few who will grab the calls as, you know, in the $40, $55 range, and they love it. But a lot of those are in the one big town in Anchorage. That's where they're taking most of those calls. Almost everything else that's out there a ways just sits until it goes away. It's got to be the client canceling it.
I think a lot of people really don't have a clue as to how things are laid out there in your area. And I think they just put the work order in with the general assumption that it's just like every other area, and it's not. You're definitely in a unique situation.
Oh, I've got to agree. Alaska is unique in almost every which way.
Do you think you're going to stick around or stand by and watch them come in and maybe get lucky with the right work order?
I always sit and wait and look for a work order that's in my area, and namely, it's just the time. If I can fit it into my schedule and it's close, I grab it. Otherwise, I don't worry about it.
Well, what would be your suggestion to them as to how to modify the platform to deal with your situation?
To deal with my situation, the easiest way is give me about 20 more zip codes to be able to exclude. That would go a long ways. The 7 I got right now just barely scratch anything. I mean, 20, 25 of them would be even better.
Is there anything else they can work into the platform that could help you out as well?
Oh, give me a dialogue box in the conditional. At least I can explain to them why I am putting in such an outrageous bid.
Well, thanks for the call, Dave. I do appreciate it. And it certainly gave me a better understanding of your situation.
Well, I'm looking forward to listening to this one and any future ones you got going. And I think what you're doing is an excellent, excellent thing.
I appreciate you listening. Without the listeners and callers, there wouldn't be a podcast. I do appreciate the call.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Well, folks, our time is up. I would like to thank everyone for listening, my kids for allowing me to do this without interruptions, and my wife for just putting up with me. If you would like to comment on the program, you can private message me in the forums as rsavoya@forums.onforce.com, or you can reach me at rick@savoyacomputer.com, or visit my website at www.savoyacomputer.com. Opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and do not represent OnForce, Savoya Computer, or advertisers. All music on the show is original and was written by Jim Chamberlain and performed by Brother Rancid and the Brand New Pygmies. The show is produced and distributed by Savoya Computer. For the Force Field, I'm Rick Savoya. May OnForce be with you.